passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
It's Thursday and welcome in, and what a day it has already been, and we're a long way from being over, especially out on the West Coast where there's a lot of news to get to, and we'll try to cover all of it for you over these next 4 hours. The Athletic headline says it all. With college football realignment, we're once again asking what is happening. The answer is nobody really knows. We'll try to give you the best guess here today. Brett McMurphy, always quick with news, saying Apple's primary media rights deal with the Pac-12 expires at the end of the week. Sources told Action Network proposal is in the low 20 million figure per school annually, but can fluctuate based on other things. That sounds like a lot of money until you compare it to what everyone else is making. That's why the Pac-12 is in flux at the moment. What about the Big Ten? Yahoo reporting at this hour that they are looking seriously at Oregon and Washington. We've heard that before, but it seems a little more serious right now. Pete Thamel reporting, and a deal is uncertain. There's a political thicket with the potential additions because the moves won't offer current Big Ten members any additional money. USC doesn't have a vote, but they've been vocal in the past about not wanting any other Big Ten teams on the West Coast. Oregon and Washington would also have to come to terms with not getting a full share, which isn't a slam dunk for them. Potential, but roadblocks remain. It all started yesterday as Florida State's administration and trustees unraveled before our eyes in Tallahassee. It was a sight to see. It was almost gobsmacking to watch the leaders of this school essentially say, we have to do something or else. Now, Andrea Adelson didn't have to watch it live stream. She was there. Andrea, thank you very much for joining us. Take us through your day and what it all means.
Paul, I had a pre-scheduled visit to Tallahassee to work on a preseason football story. You know, Florida State's supposed to be pretty good on the football field this year. So I had all these interviews, the athletic director, Mike Norvell, the school president. And then literally, oh, by the way, there's this board of trustees meeting that might be kind of relevant to the reporting. So as I went through the day, understanding what exactly was going to happen, I was still a little bit surprised, quite honestly, at the tenor of what the president said, even though he told me an hour beforehand, I'm probably going to come out and tell the trustees I'm not very optimistic that we can stay in the ACC. And in my head, I'm thinking, do you know how this is going to be received? Do you know the headlines that this is going to get? But Florida State has not been shy about making their position known within the ACC. You know, go back to February when their athletic director, Michael Alford, said, it's not sustainable for us to be able to be at a $30 million per year deficit. Something has to change. And something did change a little bit. They were vocal. They changed some of their revenue distribution, awarding some success on the field. But it wasn't enough for Florida State. What they really want the ACC to do is change the revenue distribution to include media rights value. And that's where Florida State feels like they are getting a little bit left behind. They feel they deserve a bigger piece of that pie because of their ratings, because of their brand, marketability, all that good stuff. The ACC board, the presidents, they're not really budging on that. So maybe by being as vocal as they were yesterday in that meeting, they can rattle a little bit more cages in the ACC office and see if they can come to some sort of agreement to figure out what this revenue is going to look like. Because, Paul, that is the question that is vexing not just Florida State, but every team in the ACC right now. How are we going to compete when that gap is only going to continue to grow with the SEC and the Big Ten? $30 million, then it's going to be $60 million, $90 million. You get the drift for the next 13 years.
Andrew, it's one thing to bloviate and to try to posture. It's another thing to actually do something about it, assuming that they can't be satisfied. You would think that is a big hill to climb. Can you give us some insight into how difficult it would be for Florida State or anyone in the ACC to extricate themselves from this seemingly unbreakable rights deal with not only the league, but with their television partners.
Right. So the grant of rights, which the ACC has with all of its member schools, runs through 2036, which is the length of the contract with ESPN. That essentially gives the ACC control over your media rights and your media money, which means television, home broadcast games, and every single sport, not just football, right? People have described this document as ironclad, right? And when you talk to folks inside the ACC, they're basically saying, we have this grant of rights agreement that everybody agreed to back when we signed it in 2016. And there are other schools like Texas and Oklahoma, you guys in SEC country know they didn't challenge their grant of rights in the Big 12 because they didn't think they could win that type of court battle. So there would be court involved to try and challenge that grant of rights legally. Well, what does that mean exactly? Well, it means trying to figure out a way out of that grant of rights so that the ACC would no longer control your media money and the broadcasting of all of your games. Is that winnable? That's a great question. Don't have an answer to that one. How long will that take? Don't know. Great question. Don't have an answer to that one. How many legal teams is it going to take? Don't know. Great question, right? Don't have an answer to it. Are other schools going to potentially try and do that? Because it's not just Florida State that's upset about the revenue and what it means for their football programs, right? Clemson has not been as vocal as Florida State. They want the same things when it comes to revenue distribution. They've got a powerhouse of a football program that they are funding that the way it needs to be a powerhouse football program. But suddenly that $30 million gap starts to look really, really big when you want to win championships, right? So there are a group of schools in the ACC not super happy about what this revenue gap is going to look like. But it's not as if you can just say, you know what, we're leaving. See you guys. There's a $120 million exit fee. Plus what to do about the grant of rights. And honestly, the grant of rights is the most vexing part of all of this because there isn't really a solution here unless you go to court and try and figure out how to have a winning strategy.
Florida State's been vocal. You mentioned Clemson. I mean, those are the two that, you know, without giving any thought, you know, look like SEC schools. North Carolina has been linked to other leagues, namely the Big Ten. Miami's would seemingly always be in play. How many schools in the ACC, I listed four, do you think could be in flux here, assuming that there aren't any issues, like you just said, even though there are plenty of issues?
Look, everybody is not only a part of this conference, but they report to their university, right? And so they have got a duty to their university to make sure they're doing the right thing for what is the future of the athletic department going to look like. And you see what these television contracts look like. You see the way that the SEC and Big Ten are pulling away, not just from a money perspective, but even on the recruiting trail. We heard from some ACC coaches last week at ACC kickoff who are saying they're being negative recruited as the number three conference by coaches in the other two who are saying you can't win there. I mean, there's going to be a huge deficit. You're not going to go to the NFL. You're not going to be able to play for championships. You got to come to us where all the money is, right? That's already starting to happen now. And let's not forget about NIL and what all that's going to mean. Let's not forget about what this money is going to mean for coaching salaries and trying to keep up with that and building. So there's a whole host of issues that the schools are concerned about. And it obviously goes back to what is this television revenue gap going to mean for us moving forward. And you don't want to be left behind, right? In this game of musical chairs, we've seen this throughout the course of conference realignment. You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be left out, because if you're left out, how can you seriously compete when you're not getting the same type of money as your other brethren, maybe even your own state, right? Florida State has Florida. They're looking at Florida. How are we going to compete with them? Oh, by the way, UCF is now in a power conference. Is it going to get to the point where they make more money than Florida State, right? So it's not just Florida State. You mentioned those four schools. I know Virginia is another school that people talk about as being attractive, not only as an academic institution, but in the state of Virginia to get into that footprint, but also their overall athletic department is outstanding with their Olympic sports as well, in addition to what they're trying to do now with the football program. Virginia Tech has looked at it. We know what their tradition and history is. NC State wouldn't want to be left out. Would Duke want to be left out? So, okay, I think I just named all over half of the ACC because the fact remains that money is what talks, and being in that power status is supremely important. So everybody has owed it to themselves to look at that grant of rights to take a look at it, to figure out what is a decision now going to mean 10 years down the line. But there's probably only that handful of the schools that we just mentioned that are truly serious about potentially doing something.
Andrea, I realize your reporter and speculation is not worth anything, but do you see in any world that the commissioner of this league and the leadership say, you know what, it's not worth it. Let's figure out some accommodation. The SEC may not be the only place because the Big Ten is in play too, but they may have 25 schools by the end of the day, the way things are going, that you know, with ESPN, the common denominator, that somebody finds an expensive but a less litigious way of ending this conversation.
I really cannot envision any scenario where the ACC says, let's just work out a deal, because Florida State is one of its most valuable members from a brand standpoint, rating standpoint, marketability standpoint. I mean, we can sit here and question the on-field results for Florida State over the last 5 years and whether they should be in a position to do all this talking. But the fact remains, even though they've been down, they've averaged over 3 million viewers per game over the last 7 years. That's the highest average in the ACC when they've been bad. So imagine what it's going to look like if they're able to turn the corner this year and sustain that success that they had a year ago. I think that's another reason why they feel really emboldened about their position right now. They've run all the numbers. They've hired a marketing firm, right? They've hired all these people that have shown them what it looks like from a rating standpoint, television standpoint, media rights standpoint, how valuable the Florida State property is. And that means something to not only Florida State, but to the ACC, right? Can you really afford to just let Florida State walk out the door without anything except a negotiated deal? I don't think so. The ACC is fighting for its own survival too, and it believes wholeheartedly in that grant of rights. And they'll do whatever it takes to be able to defend that if it gets to the point where it's challenged in a court of law.
And Andrew, you said something interesting that a week ago or 2 weeks ago, the ACC coaches were talking about, you know, falling to number three. By the end of this week, they may be number four with the way the Big 12 is going. Does that add to the woes on Jim Phillips' desk as soon as he dusts off his new office in Charlotte, or do they even open that office the way things are going?
Well, the office is definitely set to open later this month, I've been told. But I've also been told that the value of the ACC television contract is going to remain at number three, that the Big 12 is not going to surpass them. At least that's what I was told yesterday. Because, look, the ACC knows what it looks like from a perception standpoint, right? There's 1-2, 1A, 1B, however you want to call it. And then there's everybody else. And so to be able to say that they have more value from a revenue perspective on the TV side than the Big 12, that's something, because it looks as if the Big 12 is positioning themselves with the moves that they've made, right? There's a lot of positivity surrounding the Big 12, not so much around the ACC, and yet the ACC still is generating the type of revenue that even 7 years ago, nobody was quite certain whether the ACC would be able to deliver. They have. It's just that the Big Ten and the SEC have surpassed them in ways that I don't know if people could have even anticipated back when they signed this deal in 2016. That's the question, Paul, right? You signed this deal in 2016. You want the ACC network. You know, the Big Ten's got one. The SEC has one. You finally get your network. You feel really good that you've got everybody on board together, but you sign it for 20 years. I mean, that's what sticks out to me in all of this, is that everybody in that room agreed to sign this deal for 20 years because it looked like a really good deal at the time. You know, hindsight is always 20/20, but at the time, that was a really good deal for everybody in the ACC. So now the way that things have changed, to say you're number three, I mean, that's not exactly a talking point you want to give to people, but they feel really solid about where their position is, and they feel like they will be able to generate more revenue down the line when some of their regional contracts expire and they can be able to negotiate those for a better deal as well.
Well, that may be true, but when one of your most prominent members is banging on the drums like a bunch of drunk frat boys on a Saturday night, it doesn't sound very good. Andrea, thank you very, very much. Really great to see you. Fantastic reporting. Andrea Adelson from ESPN on what happened yesterday in the Florida State meeting and what it means for the ACC. Well, we've got a lot to unpack over these next 4 hours, as you can imagine. We'll deal with many, many different aspects of the story. We'll talk to one gentleman who broke the story yesterday about the Big Ten. We got one of the star players in the SEC joining us from South Carolina, and Matt Stinchcomb.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Bubba Cunningham, the respected athletic director of North Carolina, in an interview earlier saying, I don't think it's good for our league, for them, Florida State, to be out there barking like that. I'd rather see them be a good member of the league, support the league, and if they have to make a decision, then so be it. Pay for the exit fee, wait for your grant of rights that you're given, and then in 2036, when those rights return, do whatever you want. Okay, Bubba, thank you. Thanks for stating the obvious there, that they have a deal. Meanwhile, North Carolina would probably take a bid to the Big Ten tonight, if offered. Let's get to the phones here at 855-242-7285. We begin with John, who is first up.
Hey, nice opening interview with Andrea. And you're right, it's bloviating versus doing something. And Florida State's like a rebellious child. You say, okay, leave your car keys on the kitchen table and a check for $120 million and good luck.
Yeah, I mean, for Florida State to do that, I think they're past the threatening stage. They're not going anywhere with that. And by the way, there's only one school in the ACC that could probably get away with that, and it's not Florida State.
No, I know who you're talking about. Hey, Paul, I was going to quickly rate the different conference commissioners, good, bad, and indifferent. We'll start with the Big Ten. Jim Delaney set things up well for the Big Ten with the risky short-term media deal, and Kevin Warren doesn't get much of a grade because all he did was come in, forget to dot the I's and cross the T's and talk to the other members about oral deals he had done. He was too focused on his NFL career. Greg Sankey did a wonderful job with the media deal, but I don't give credit to any of the commissioners for taking phone calls from be it Texas and Oklahoma or UCLA and USC. As far as the ACC, John Swofford set things back by 20 years, as you know, and Jim Phillips gets an incomplete grade because he can't do anything and has not done anything. As far as the Big 12, let's talk about the Pac-12 or Pac-10 or Pac-9 or wherever it's at the moment. Larry Scott set them up for failure, and I think the worst commissioner right now is
I mispronounce it every time, but it's Kliakoff.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was late to the game to renew the media deal. And in fact, I give a good grade to your Mark because he was ahead of the game and got what was remaining of the media money and TV inventory. That's how I grade them all. I will mention, I'm not going to give your Mark much for bringing in new teams. Four were already coming when he arrived. And taking a call from Colorado doesn't deserve any marks. So that's how I grade them all.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Kliakoff has been a disaster because, you know, not only is he arrogant, but he taunted everyone. Hey, do you remember 2 years ago the alliance between the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12? And, I mean, he was a ringleader in that. And I think he may have been naive enough to think it might work. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Daryl is up next. Good afternoon.
Yeah, the only ACC school that could probably get away with it would be Clemson, right?
Correct.
I would love to have North Carolina come to the SEC. It would definitely help the basketball out. Will you agree with that?
Yeah, but Daryl, you can't go shopping for basketball. The sport is simply not important enough anymore from a television standpoint.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the SEC media picking Alabama to win the West did Alabama any favors?
No, I think deep down Saban would have loved to have been snubbed. And now that he has not been, he's in a very awkward position of being the pick to win the West, not really given a second thought about winning at all. So he lost a major psychological edge, I thought.
I would agree, and I think it's probably great bulletin board material for LSU, them not being picked to win the West. Let me ask you, looking at the College Football Playoff Committee, okay, it seems like they put more emphasis on losses, the number of losses, in relation to who you lost to. In other words, I mean, a one-loss team, they would probably take over a two-loss team, but those two losses that team might have been to top-ranked teams. They were close games, and the one loss the other team might have been to an unranked team, but it seemed like they would take that one-ranked team over a two-loss team. It seemed like that's what they seemed to do. My question is, if Alabama doesn't win the West, and if Alabama doesn't make the 12-team playoff or gets knocked out early in the 12-team playoff, what kind of pressure does that put on Nick Saban for 2024?
Well, remember one thing here. We're still in the 4-team playoff, and so the 12-team doesn't start till next year. I think Saban's always under pressure because it's Alabama. I mean, Alabama is in the same position in college football as the Yankees are in Major League Baseball, the Lakers in the NBA, the Cowboys, that their fans and themselves expect to win it all every year, even when it doesn't look even realistically possible. Hey, thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. Jeff is in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good, man. It's been several years since I talked to you. I called in several years ago. I saw you at Fraser Memorial Church in Montgomery.
Oh, yeah.
For the breast cancer awareness.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, that was great. I met Iman and Tammy, and it was a great, great evening. But I just wanted to call and let you know, I know you know Doug and Charlie in Montgomery. I called in this morning and got some free tickets to the Tim Tebow event at the Impact tonight.
Oh, I didn't realize that was tonight. Well, that's fantastic. Well, Bob, you'll love it because Tim's one of the great speakers in the world today.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him. I guess he's going to talk about God and, you know, football. But he's a great guy.
Hey, Jeff, just to sound like everybody else, but is there anything else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Diamond's my favorite caller. I hope he's listening. He lives about a 10-minute walk from my house, and he's done some good HVAC work for us. He's a smart, funny guy. But that's about all I got. I just wanted to share that with you.
If you see Tim tonight, tell him we talked. Thank you very, very much. We're up against the break. we have a long way to go. We'll update you on all the other news. And there's a lot happening, especially in the Pac-12, where there is a board meeting tonight in Arizona where you could see some action. There's a board meeting in Washington. So if you know what's happening, let us know, because we'll be following all of it throughout the afternoon and early evening.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here. What a day it's been. And we'll continue to follow all of it for you. We've gotten the ACC report from Andrea Adelson a minute ago. There are Dan Wetzel joining us in a few minutes about the Big Ten. And Joseph is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call, man. How you feel?
I'm feeling great.
Okay, well, I'm going to make it simple, though, and put this thing in correction. Now, I know we got our opinions, and we all have them, and we're entitled. But Coach Saban going to be here until the day he can't do it no more. That's just going to be it. He ain't got number one boss, and that's his wife. Now, as far as the dynasty, him being over to me, being at the end, we'll see. But as far as I'm concerned, he's got two more national championships he's going to get. And he can't stand to be away from a game of football. And when the man lose, I know he don't sleep. Too much rumor running around here. But quiet as kept, people want the dynasty to be over. People want to say the dynasty's dead, but it ain't. It ain't. It's far from it. Because I guess what? He's already above Coach Bryant. So anybody who wants to sit here and think Nick Saban's in his peak, I just tell them to think it all over. Roll Tide, that's it.
Will is up next,
Paul,
in North Carolina.
Yeah. I got a question regarding the 2025 college football playoffs. You know, if all these conferences are getting swallowed up, you know, and they've agreed to automatic bids, I mean, what's going to happen, you know, now that the Big Ten's ate all the Pac-12's lunch? And, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, if there's five schools left in the Pac-12, are they still going to get an automatic bid?
I mean, can they renegotiate that? Or, I mean, cause.
Will, it's a really fascinating question. I'll ask Heather to check on that, because I don't know. I don't think any, you know, maybe there's some clauses in there. I'm not sure about that, but that would be incredible if that league. First of all, I don't know how that league can maintain its existence without more schools.
Right. All right. Well, I'll stay posted on that and wait.
Okay. I'll find out. It's an excellent question, though. Rick is up next in Houston. You're on the air. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you.
What I was going to talk to you was along the same lines of what Will was. Where Will was headed, but what I was thinking was, let's say that the Pac-12 does fall apart in whatever fashion, say Washington and Oregon, possibly Cal and Stanford go to the Big Ten, and then the other three corner schools go to the Big 12, and that leaves you with Washington State and Oregon State, and most likely – you know, they go to the Mountain West. Well, you know, we've long talked about the Power Five conferences and the new playoff that's coming, the 12-team playoff, is you've got, you know, the six highest conference champions get an automatic bid.
Yeah, and Rick, let me jump in here quickly because I didn't answer the question correctly to Will. It's not everyone's not getting an automatic bid. It's the six highest ranked conference champions. So if the Pac-12 is not part of that, then they are not in the equation.
Correct. But, you know, where I was headed, Paul, is that you go from five, you know, and let's face it, most likely, you know, the Power Five, each of their conference champions would be one of the six highest ranked conference champions. But if the Power Five becomes a Power Four, or God forbid, a Power Three, and they keep the six highest ranked conference champions as part of the playoff gets, in my opinion, gets weakened substantially. Don't you think?
I do. I mean, there it does, but. They had to make it to get this deal done. You have to give up something. It's not a perfect scenario. It never was going to be, but it had to be done. And I still think instead of talking about two, which we had, 9 years ago, and then four, at least with 12, it's hard to imagine that anyone that deserving is going to get left out.
Right. I mean, it's just. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like it's hard to imagine four teams from the Big Ten and four teams from the SEC getting in. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not.
But it's also not remember possible. Too. I believe this is there is a deal. What they ended up doing is made a deal. A short-term deal for 24 and 25. There's another deal that goes into effect. In 26. Now, I do not know exactly how or when or if the criteria changes, but I will get some clarification on that. These are but the dust has not settled yet. And when it does, this is all going to be a little bit easier to figure out. But thank you very, very much for the call. Ray is in Phoenix. You're on the air. Hello, Ray.
Hey, Paul. Thanks again for taking my call. It's an honor always talking to you again. It's, you know,
thank
I
you.
Just called
thank
and I told you guys earlier that my wife and I were big Texas Tech Red Raider fans. It's a great day to be a Red Raider here in Arizona with the fact that possibly seeing my Red Raiders player every year in basketball, football, baseball, and softball, you know. And I know we're talking about playoffs and getting into the playoffs. But I do think with this alignment, it'll give us a better exposure and to be able to it's a good day to be a big member of the Big 12. You know, I wish they would have done this before, but the Pac-12 stubbed their noses at us, and now they're scrambling to get in. And so hopefully after tonight, when all is said and done and the dust settles, we'll have three more added to us with Cincinnati, BYU, and UCF. So, thanks again, Paul. Have a great day and a great weekend. And like I said, Rec'em Tech.
Thank you very much. Really good to hear from you. Doug in Tulsa, you're on the air. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Paul. As a member of the Southeast Conference, isn't it fun just to sit back and watch all the chaos and wreckage, all the carnage?
Yeah, because, I mean, in my history of covering this league, have you ever heard of a school in the SEC saying, we want out?
No. And I guarantee you that's not going to happen in the future. Hey, also, I'm thankful, Paul. I wanted to share this yesterday. I didn't have time. But Tuesday, you had a guest in for you since you were gone. And the guy was from Tulsa and an OU fan. And
Dory,
was awesome. And enjoyed that. He did a great job. Love to see him come back. And I've also noticed that when people call in and ask you about the Sooners, you're very complimentary. You always are. I appreciate that. And so love it. But there's one more thing I want to say, and I'll be done. This whole conference realignment mess is Arkansas's fault. Did you know that? It's Arkansas's fault. Because when they moved from the Southwest Conference to the Southeast Conference, that cracked – the filled up aquarium. That was the crack that started it, because that demolished the Southwest Conference. Then schools went to Big 12. Half the schools hated Texas for obvious reasons. And so now we're here to this mess. So I just want to
personally thank you. Doug, you're 100% correct. Hey, thank you for the call. We are heading to a break. Dan Wetzel, top of the hour on what's up with the Big Ten. Could they be expanding and by how many? Meanwhile, the commissioner of the SEC says, we're happy where we are, and why not? We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back. We appreciate you being here. And Mark is up next in Georgia. Hey, Mark, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Man, it's hot down here in southeast Georgia.
I bet.
Hey, listening to all the whining from schools like Florida State, I mean, I'm an old dude. I hate seeing the conferences get broke up, you know. I mean, a lot of this is very, very traditional stuff. I mean, good grief. You take it, UCLA and Southern Cal, I mean, they're in California. They're going to wind up playing up in the Midwest and the Northeast now all the time.
Yes.
Not really the point of my call. Primarily Florida State. All this whining and crying. Hire the right athletic director. Hire the right coach. Let the right coach come in and build the right superstructure to be able to turn them into one of the powerhouses of college football again, like Bobby Bowden had built them in to be years ago. Their trademark will get to be more valuable, and then they'll be in a much better position to be able to negotiate for a lot more money. I mean, currently, right now, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan are the superpowers of college football.
Yeah, and Mark, I hate to be that guy that brings up something factual.
Go ahead.
If you go back 35 years, Florida State was invited to join the SEC, but Bobby Bowden didn't want to.
Yeah, I do very specifically remember that. And being a lifelong SEC guy, I'm not very happy when we let anybody into our conference, to tell you the truth. I just seen Oklahoma and Texas stayed where they were at. To me,
well,
it's just bringing in redheaded skeptical.
Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. But, you know, Bowden was very honest about it. I think he was with us a couple of years before he died, and he said, I didn't want that competition. And if you've never seen that clip of Bobby telling us that, we're going to play it in just a minute. Let's continue. Don is up next. Don, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a couple of things. First, I want to tell Darryl he needs to see a psychiatrist, because he's got Nick in his head. The poor boy probably can't even sleep at night. And another thing, Paul, a couple of weeks ago you were dogging Larry down in Shelbyville for the quarterbacks, Alabama quarterbacks. Alabama not having a quarterback. Well, you remember that?
No, but I'll take your word for it.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm still here.
You were talking about Larry, about the quarterbacks at Alabama, not having a starting quarterback yet. And you just talking about Tennessee and Georgia, they don't have a proven quarterback. They've got good quarterbacks, they're not proven. LSU's got a proven quarterback. But Alabama, you know, they're in a good situation. There's probably a lot of teams in Texas is one of them. It's got where they can they're battling for a quarterback starting place. If Tennessee ain't got but one or two, then you know that's the Nick's got a good situation down here in Alabama. And I sure do appreciate you taking my call, and I appreciate Larry from Shelbyville too. Thank you, Paul.
Well, thank you. You be well. Take care of yourself. Shirley is in Kentucky. Hello, Shirley.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I hope that everyone has had a wonderful summer.
Thank you.
You for taking my call. There has been much commenting upon the very special nature of SEC football, and that is without question or dispute. I would like, please, Mr. Feinbaum, to bring to your attention and the viewers' attention an article which appears on the final page of the August edition of Southern Living, authored by Mr. Rick Bragg and entitled The Sweet Home of Alabama. Within this one-page article, Mr. Bragg provides an absolutely riveting panoramic scope of all SEC nations and cultures, especially, for example, from the tailgating practices of the chandelier study gatherings at Ole Miss to the vats of gumbo at LSU. And notes, of course, the spectacular recent successes of the University of Georgia football program. But then the attention turns to the epicenter, and that being Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Well, Shirley, I have to run here, but you're talking about one of the truly great writers in the South's modern history, Rick Bragg, who now teaches at the University of Alabama. Dan Wetzel, another one of those greats. He'll be with us in a minute.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.